from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
So what is something that you think would surprise people about what your belief is, or at least hunches, about the team this year? Don't be surprised if, and then we need a prediction from you on Washington's 2024 season. Denton and I will have ours coming up, and we want you guys to call in at 301-230-0980. I watched tennis until late last night, until Grigor Dimitrov had to bow out of what was a pretty compelling tennis match with local Francis Tiafoe advancing to the semifinals for the second time in 3 years at the U.S. Open. He will face another American, Taylor Fritz, in an All-American men's semifinal, guaranteeing that we will have a U.S. male in a Grand Slam tennis final for the first time since 2006. It's been 18 years since a U.S. male has advanced to a Grand Slam final. Any of the Grand Slams, the Australian, the French, Wimbledon, the U.S. Open. No U.S. male has won a Grand Slam event since Andy Roddick did it in 2003, winning the U.S. Open over Juan Carlos Ferrero. It was September of 2003, 21 years ago, that a U.S. male tennis player won a Grand Slam. It's been 18 years since there's been a U.S. male in a Grand Slam final. That will change because Francis Tiafoe held off Grigor Dimitrov, who had to bow out in the fourth set with an injury, providing what was very much an anticlimactic ending to a match that I have to tell you, we've talked some tennis a little bit here this summer, and most of the talk has been how most of you, including me, aren't interested in it. I became less interested in it when Serena retired, but I've gotten into this U.S. Open. Denton, I am rooting hard for College Park's Francis Tiafoe. What a great story. You know, we had the head of that tennis facility out in College Park on the show maybe 2 years ago. We've had Mark Ein on the show several times to talk about Francis Tiafoe. Mark Ein's in the box, in the player box, the Tiafoe box for every big match at the Open. And he's going to face Taylor Fritz, who beat Zverev. But, man, the match between Tiafoe and Dimitrov there are tennis people out there that probably definitely know the sport much more than I do. But that second set was high quality tennis until the very end of the tiebreaker when we had three double faults in a row. And then it looked like we were headed towards one of those super late nights. But with midnight approaching, Dimitrov was injured. It appeared to have been a hamstring injury. He had it worked on and then tried to make a go of it in the fourth set, but was getting absolutely torched in the fourth set and finally gave up losing with a default in the fourth set, setting up Tiafoe and Taylor Fritz in an All-American men's semifinal. That match will be on Friday at the U.S. Open. The women also, we have seen, you know, by the way, not only do you have a situation where you've got an All-American U.S. men's semifinal at the Open on Friday, but there's a really good chance for a U.S. male to win a Grand Slam for the first time since Roddick did it in 2003 because Alcaraz and Djokovic got beat much earlier in the tournament. Now, Jannik Sinner, who is the number one seed, is still around. He plays his quarterfinal match tonight against Medvedev. I'm pretty sure Medvedev has won a major. In fact, I think he won the U.S. Open. Did Medvedev win the U.S. Open Djokovic won last year. I forget. Medvedev has won majors, I'm pretty sure. I need to look that one up. Daniil Medvedev, how many majors has he won? He won the U.S. Open in 2021. It's his only major. He's been in three other finals at the Australian Open. So he's still in it. Sinner is still in it. And the winner of that match, more likely than not, is the favorite to advance to advance to the final and then to probably win the tournament. They are the two highest seeded players left. But exciting stuff at the U.S. Open, an opportunity to celebrate American tennis for the first time in a long time. On the women's side, there are two women left in the draw. Yesterday, Emma Navarro, who is the 13 seed, she's kind of come out of nowhere, although she was in the gold medal match, apparently, in the Olympics. She's a 13 seed, so she's played very well this year. She knocked off the 26 seed. She's into a semifinal against Sabalenka, who's been really good. And then today, Jessica Pegula plays the one seed, Świątek, the Polish girl who's been number one now for a while. So you could end up potentially with an All-American women's final on Saturday. I think it's still the women's final Saturday, the men's final on Sunday. Pretty sure that's the way they do it. But Friday we'll get Tiafoe and Taylor Fritz, two American men in a semifinal with a chance for one of them to advance one of them will advance to the final and then a chance to win a major for the first time since Roddick. That's pretty amazing when you think about just how American men's tennis has been so irrelevant for so long. I mean, you had Andy Roddick was in a lot of finals. Andy Roddick, you know, won the U.S. Open. That's the last time anybody won a Grand Slam final. But he was in the 2006 finals and lost to Roger Federer. He was the last American male to advance to the Wimbledon finals. That was in 2009 when he lost in that epic 16-14 fifth set final to Roger Federer. So he was in a final in 2009 at Wimbledon. The French Open, I mean, the Americans have been out for since Michael Chang was the last one to be in a final. That was 1995. Courier was the last one to win it in 1992. Agassi beat somebody in the Australian final in 2003. So that was his last final appearance or last Grand Slam win. And then Roddick won the U.S. Open later on that year. So, yeah, when I said first time American male in a final, actually, let me amend that, in the U.S. Open, because Roddick was in a final in 2009. So it's actually been 15 years since we've had an American male in a Grand Slam final. At the U.S. Open, it's been since 2006 when Roddick lost. But Roddick was pretty much it. I mean, that's been pretty much it until this, you know, latest wave with Tiafoe, who's, by the way, seeded 20th. It's not like he's a top five player. Taylor Fritz is, I think he's barely a top 15 player. Let me see what his seed is. Fritz is seeded, he's seeded 12th. So you still don't have Americans at the top of the sport in terms of the rankings, but we get something that'll be fun on Friday. All right, there's your tennis for the day. I watched last night, was really rooting for Tiafoe. He's a reason to watch. He's a very entertaining player. Man, does he hit a forehand. He generates so much wrist and topspin and just explodes with that forehand. And he is quick. He is really a good player and a fun player to watch. And he seems to have the crowd in New York very much behind him. We'll see what happens on Friday when he faces another American, but it wouldn't surprise me if Tiafoe is kind of the favorite there. But we're in uncharted territories for the first time in a long time, you know, at a major event. You're talking about, you know, at the U.S. Open, it's been, let's see where the... I'm just trying to see what the closest to anything was with even... We had Tiafoe in the semis, but it's been a long time at the U.S. Open since we've had anybody other than Djokovic, Nadal, Federer, and recently Alcaraz in a final. And we're going to get something completely new this year. What did you think of that tennis to start, Denton? I was into it last night.
I'm very happy you watched it last night.
I wonder who's favored. Look that up. See who's favored between Tiafoe and Fritz. I'm going to guess that even though Tiafoe's the 20 seed and Fritz is the 12, I'm going to guess Tiafoe's favored.
Let's see. It is... Yeah, no. Tiafoe's not favored. Taylor Fritz is a pretty big favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it?
Minus 260, and then Tiafoe's plus 210.
Are you serious? What's their head? Is it because Fritz has just dominated him head-to-head?
I guess that would be the reason. I don't know their head-to-head matchups, but I guess that would be the reason. It's a smaller favorite than Sinner over Medvedev, which is minus 300.
Fritz is 6-1 head-to-head against Tiafoe. Wow. 6-1. The last time they played was 23 in Acapulco in the quarterfinal. Fritz won that. Fritz has won the last six matches against Tiafoe. None of them have come... Well, the Australian Open, they played at the 2022 Australian Open, and Fritz won in the round of 64 in straight sets. So that's the last time that they played in a major. But Fritz has won six straight. Tiafoe won their first ever meeting in 2016 in Indian Wells. So there you go. That I had no idea. I was guessing based on the way Tiafoe's played that he would be a favorite. So, wow, Fritz is a heavy favorite. Interesting. Because I would bet that the general sports fan that may pay attention to the majors and the U.S. Open, that they're into Tiafoe a little bit, just assumes that Tiafoe is the best American in the draw. But it's apparently Taylor Fritz. Where's Taylor Fritz from? I don't know anything about him. Do you?
No,
I'm going to guess California.
That would be correct. That's a good guess.
Really?
Yeah. He's from San Diego.
Yeah, in watching him yesterday, he kind of looked like a Californian dude.
He got that surfer haircut going on.
Okay. There we go. All right. So, here we are, Wednesday, week one. We get a game tomorrow night. That game's going to be, that is such a good opener. You know how every year we talk about that Thursday night opener, you know, NBC could basically put anybody against the defending Super Bowl champions and the game would get a massive number. Of course it would. Last year it was the Lions and the Chiefs in that opening week. And tomorrow night we get, I mean, right now, two of the top three or four favorites to win the whole thing, along with the 49ers in the NFC. We get, you know, the rematch of the AFC title game last year. We may be getting a preview of something late January already. It could, you know, in week one, yeah, could end up having seeding ramifications later on. Look, you don't know much about an NFL season. You do know a little bit about certain franchises and certain teams that if they stay healthy, they're going to be in it. And these are two of those four or five teams that you can have relative confidence that if they keep all of their key players healthy throughout the course of the year, they're going to win double-digit games and they're going to be in the postseason. I don't think anybody's not going to pick Baltimore or Kansas City to make the postseason and perhaps make a deep run. But things change. We know that Baltimore's had Lamar Jackson out in a couple of instances. I mean, didn't make the playoffs one year, made it the other year, but got knocked out in the first round in Cincinnati in the wild card round. But that's a hell of an opener. Friday night, we get the Packers and the Eagles in Brazil. I don't know if anybody's been following this story. Apparently, the NFL has given the Packers and the Eagles strict orders to stay in their hotel room, that they will be targeted by, you know, crime in Brazil. That's a great way to start the season. Good job, NFL. You should have thought about that prior to sending those teams there. Now, they're just there for a few days and to play a game, but it's not one of those, hey, the NFL's in town, everybody embrace us. It's more like duck and cover in Brazil until they can play the game Friday night and then get out of Dodge. I don't know much about where they are and where they're staying. I can't imagine that there aren't places that are more secure, but I think it may be more about NFL players being targeted, you know, while they're there, which they should have thought of beforehand. But that's a great game Friday night. Eagles, Packers, and then, of course, we get the full slate on Sunday, and we end week one with the Jets and 49ers on Monday Night Football. Washington will open, as we know, at Tampa Bay on Sunday night. So I want to open up the show, post-tennis conversation, with don't be surprised if, and then give me your bold prediction for Washington's upcoming season. It can be anything. You know, we've done the record thing so far. If you want to say don't be surprised if they win two playoff games, that would certainly qualify as being surprised. You can say don't be surprised if, you know, Zach Ertz ends up leading the team in receptions and touchdown catches. Don't be surprised if Jamin Davis ends up with double-digit sacks. Something like that. Something that's bold and out there that you've been thinking about as it relates to the upcoming season. 301-230-0980. Denton's got an answer to this question. So do I. We'll give it to you when we come back. Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports covers the NFL. Will join us at 10:35. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Don't be surprised if. Need a bold prediction for the upcoming 2024 Washington season. 301-230-0980. Look, I've been talking about this one for a while, Denton. And I'm going to get more specific because I'm going to quantify this as well. Don't be surprised if Brian Robinson Jr. rushes for 1,200-plus yards. But more than that, catches 50 passes for another 450 yards. Don't be surprised if Brian Robinson Jr. ends up being a Pro Bowl selection this year for Washington. You know, last year, the leading rushers in the league, it was Christian McCaffrey, you know, and Derrick Henry pretty much. It was Christian McCaffrey by a lot, and that was at 1,459 yards. And then it was Derrick Henry at second with 1,167 yards. 1,200 yards last year would have been good for number two in the league in rushing yardage. Now, that is not necessarily what we've seen in recent years where 1,200 yards would have been that high up on the list. In 2022, 1,200 yards wouldn't even, you know, right at 1,200 wouldn't have gotten you into the top five because Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders were all well north of 1,200 yards. But Brian Robinson Jr., 1,200 yards rushing, another 50 catches for 450 yards, and he makes an NFC Pro Bowl in his third season in the NFL. That's my don't be surprised if fill in the blank. Denton, what's yours?
For me, I'm staying on the offensive side of the ball. Don't be surprised if Terry McLaurin breaks Santana Moss's 14.83 mark in terms of single-season yardage. I saw a video, Kevin, this weekend. It was meant to make Trayvon Diggs look really good, but what it ended up doing was making Terry McLaurin look amazing. It was a compilation of Trayvon Diggs guarding Terry McLaurin. There were eight throws in this like minute-long video package. One of them was good coverage by Trayvon Diggs. One of them was holding. Five of them, Terry McLaurin was open and underthrown, and one was a touchdown. The fact that he has a quarterback that will not underthrow him on a regular basis, I think Terry McLaurin's in for a massive season this year.
That would be a massive season. So your prediction is that Terry McLaurin sets the single-season reception yardage record for Washington. It's 1,483 yards. Santana Moss did it in 2005. By the way, Terry McLaurin's best yardage season, which was in 2022, 1,191 yards, ranks 13th on the all-time franchise reception yardage for a single season list. I mean, it's way down there. Look, I'm not blaming it on Terry. We know why. We've had terrible quarterback play while he's been in the league. But that just goes to show you that as good as Terry's been, his best season, yardage-wise, 13th all-time in franchise history. By the way, his best catch season of 87 catches isn't even in the top five. It's number six, tied for six, actually, with Jordan Reed, with what he did in 2015. 301-230-0980. I've got Brian Robinson Jr. making the Pro Bowl, rushing for 1,200 plus yards and catching 50 plus balls for 450 yards. Touchdown count double digits. You know, I'll give you 12 touchdowns, 14 touchdowns on the year. You know, 9-10 rushing, 4 receptions, somewhere around there. I think that the offense with the dual threat nature of it and Jaden's ability is going to really open things up for Brian Robinson Jr. As it did, by the way, with Alfred Morris for those years. Alfred Morris holds a single season rushing title for the franchise when he rushed in 2012 for 1,613 yards. That's the all-time mark for the franchise, 1,613 yards. He had 13 touchdowns rushing, Alfred Morris did in 2012. All right, don't be surprised if, bold prediction for the Commanders' upcoming 2024 season. Let's start with Kurt in Hagerstown. Kurt, go ahead.
Big Kevin, thanks for taking my call, sir.
Sure.
So don't be surprised if you only see one cornerback from the depth chart on the field in a lot of defensive packages. Looking at the roster breakdown that they set out, the depth chart, I only saw 5 corners, lots of safeties, and I feel like our best cover guys outside of Sharon Steele are our safeties. So I'm looking forward to seeing like the different matchups that Quinn comes out with.
Yeah, I mean, that's really getting into the specifics, but I love it because you're right. You know, they kept 6 safeties, basically, and Quan Martin is incredibly versatile, as we know. So I think we're going to see a lot of Quan Martin and Jeremy Chin and probably, you know, a guy that some people didn't even think was going to make the team and Derek Forrest on the team. But that speaks also, right, Kurt, to the fact that there isn't a lot of confidence right now in the corners. By the way, Washington put out its official depth chart. Okay, this is now official, not unofficial as it was in preseason, and we will get into that on the show today. Thanks, Kurt. Let's go to Little. Little, don't be surprised if. Bold prediction for Washington's 2024 season. Go ahead.
Coach, thank you for taking my call. Welcome back.
Sure.
Shout out to Double D. Hey, look, I've been thinking this way. I think it's our time, Kevin. Don't be surprised if we win the division. The football gods got to send that halo our way. This man, it's been a while. But don't be surprised if we win the division. I know you're saying, man, Little, you must be crazy, but that's how I'm thinking.
I'm no, going into that's the bold. That is bold. Go. They are a long shot to win the division. You know, right now, Philly is a slight favorite over Dallas. And then you got Washington and the Giants way back there odds-wise. But I'm with you on them, as you know, having a much better season record-wise than most people are predicting. Thanks, Little. Aveen, don't be surprised if. Go ahead.
Hi, Kevin. Don't be surprised if Washington has a top 5 rush offense this season. I've been rewatching Jaden Daniels' highlights this week to get pumped up for the season. And I ask anybody to rewatch those games against at Alabama and at Missouri, him running the ball, and how silly and helpless he makes those defenders look. How easily he gets in and out of trouble where it looks like he's surrounded 1 second and then all of a sudden he's off to the races. Nick Saban called Jaden Daniels an angle breaker, like a defender thinks they have an angle on him and he easily outruns it. So I think we might have one of the hardest to tackle quarterbacks in the league, and having a quarterback that good of a runner, as good as a Lamar Jackson, it makes, it elevates the rush offense so much. And then you have Cliff Kingsbury, who's shown in the past, he knows how to scheme up a rush offense. Brian Robinson, who I think didn't get a fair shot last season. It was an inept offense. But his underlying stats are still good. His yards after contact and his missed tackle rate. And then Austin Eckler. I know fantasy isn't reality, but nobody's had a bigger drop-off in fantasy than Austin Eckler just because of some injuries. He was viewed as the second best running back after McCaffrey. So I could easily see us having a top 5 rush offense this season.
I love that. I'm with you on that. I think that's there's a distinct possibility of that, which would go, you know, essentially in conflict with what a lot of people believe a Cliff Kingsbury offense looks like. But I don't think it's going to look like what some people think it's going to look like. I think it's going to look like what you just described. And keep in mind, if you just go through the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, Justin Fields in Chicago, Jalen Hurts and Philly, these were the top rushing teams in the NFL. And it's because they had their quarterback involved in the run game. Joe in Springfield. Joe, don't be surprised if a bold prediction for Washington's upcoming season. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, Joe.
So I'm going to go on the defense side, and I'm going to say that don't be surprised if Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen have career years in sacks. And I'm saying that because Jamin Davis is now going to be in a new position at defensive end. It would not surprise me if teams try to double-team Jamin Davis, and that could make it a way for Allen and Payne to get to the quarterback a lot more. I believe that they are probably finally thrilled that there's a system that could work. I mean, we said that before with defense in the past, but if you have Jamin Davis move to a new position, that's going to make it open for Allen and Payne to, I believe, having career years in sacks, and I also believe we'll get a playoff victory as well. I mean, we haven't had one since my senior year of high school, so take care, Kevin.
Thanks for the call. Has John Allen, Daron Payne had a double digit sack year, right? In 22, Denton?
Yeah, he had 11 and a half, I believe.
Has John had a double digit sack year?
I don't think so. I think his career high is nine.
Nine?
Nine or nine and a half. Let me pull that up, but I believe it's
11
nine.
And a half, Payne. Here it is on Payne. And then John, 7.5. In 2022. So they combined for 19 sacks in 2022. Billy, finish it up for us. Don't be surprised if. Go ahead.
Kevin, good morning. The first thing I would say is, you know, you often open segments with the band Pearl Jam. You know, they're out on tour. They'll be in Baltimore next week. I'd strongly recommend. I've seen them a couple times.
I've seen them about five times. I've just gotten sick of Eddie over the years, to be honest with you. But go ahead.
Well, I think the new album is tremendous, Kevin. I don't know how much you've listened to it, Dark Matter.
I haven't.
But you should listen.
Okay.
You'd enjoy it. I've been critical of this the consortium, Kevin. They've started to prove their worth to me in recent times here. The removal of the Sean Taylor mannequin, the Jason Wright move. I think it was critical that they let that kicker go when there were those allegations out there. They acknowledged.
By the way, cleared of those allegations yesterday. Charges dropped on Brandon McManus.
Understood, Kevin, and relatable to this moment. But I still, in my opinion, you send a message to people who are looking for that type of opportunity, and you send a message to the league that we're not tolerating this.
So what's your don't be surprised if?
They've said they're going to bring a new stadium in the league. Into the city. That's great news. Don't be surprised if you don't see this team in the NFC Championship.
We've improved.
Wow. We've improved on defense. We got a new quarterback.
Yeah.
I think teams in the NFC have stepped backwards over the offseason. The 49ers, in my opinion. The Eagles, in my opinion.
All right. I gotta go. We got a guest coming up, but I want to leave it on that because it's been a while since we've gotten anything positive from Billy. You and I all of a sudden have turned. We're into this year. This segment of the show is brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Frank Schwab, we've had Frank on the show many times from Yahoo Sports. He'll be our guest next. Joining us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter, Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Frank Schwab, who covers the NFL, covers sports betting for Yahoo Sports. Follow Frank on X on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab. We're finally here, Frank. I mean, tomorrow night we get real games. Give me the team right now that ends up surprising the entire league more than any other. Who's this year's Houston?
I think it's Washington. And I know it kind of sounds lazy to just copy and paste from Houston and say, well, they got the second pick of the draft, a quarterback. But Jaden Daniels is a big reason I'm high on Washington this year. I'm not sure that exactly they're going to reach Houston level to win their division, obviously. That's a tough division. But I just love the changes they made. And, you know, you look, I think the stat is right. I've written about it before, but there's been, in the last 5 years, there's been four teams that go from worst to first. Three of them drafted a quarterback, either first or second overall in the draft, Houston being one of them. I think Jacksonville did it with Trevor. It wasn't Trevor, but it was Burrow, I believe. Whatever. You get what I mean. Like, when you draft a quarterback that high, he can make a big impact on your team. And I think another big thing for them was last year they were minus 13 or minus 14 in turnover margin, which led the NFL.
Right.
Well, how do you fix that? You go and hire a head coach whose defenses have led the NFL in takeaways the last 3 years. You go and draft a quarterback who did not turn the ball over at LSU. So that's going to turn around. There's a lot of regression coming there. They turned over a lot of their roster. A lot of the things that I like to look for in a breakout team are there with Washington. Now, I'm very concerned about their offensive line. That's the one thing that could screw this whole thing up, is their offensive line just isn't very good. But otherwise, I think Washington's going to be a very competitive team this year, and a big reason for that is Jaden Daniels, who I think is going to win Rookie of the Year.
So do you think they win the division? Do they
no,
replicate
I don't.
What Houston did?
It's just so hard to beat. If they were in a weaker division, if they were in the NFC South, I'd say maybe. But it's too hard to get past the Cowboys and Eagles. But I can envision the Commanders being one of those teams that are in playoff contention, wild card contention, late in the year, which would be a huge season for them. I mean, that fan base is starved for any level of success. So I think that Jaden Daniels can have them. I think they can have a winning record this year. Let's put it that way, and then we'll see how the wild card shakes out.
Somebody sent me something this morning, and I thought it was interesting. It wasn't something that you wrote. It was, I think it was probably some comment on a board. But I thought about it, and I'm wondering if anybody else thinks this is possible. Could Saquon Barkley provide Philadelphia what Christian McCaffrey provided San Francisco this year?
I don't think so. McCaffrey's, look, we have to be honest about Saquon Barkley. Christian McCaffrey's a much, much, much better player. You're talking about a guy who, when you start doing the lists and start doing the comparisons and start doing the career accomplishments, Christian McCaffrey's probably a top 10 to 12 all-time running back. Like, really, he is. Like, trust me. If you compare to Marshall Faulk, go ahead and come back to me and see what
great,
you think.
That's
you know?
The comp, right? Yes. Remember, he had the injury issues in Carolina, too, and then all of a sudden has been healthy in San Francisco.
It's weird. Yeah, he's had a weird deal with injuries where it's either all or nothing with him. Either he's playing 98% of the snaps or he's missing most of the season. He's been an Iron Man. He is like, when he's healthy. If he's healthy, he's playing every single snap. He's an amazing player. And I just don't think Saquon Barkley has been at that level since his rookie season. He's been good. He's a good player. But we're holding on to the Penn State Saquon Barkley. We're holding on to the rookie year Saquon Barkley, when actually that was a long time ago. Is it possible that the Giants were just completely holding him back? Absolutely. The Giants have been a mess for a few years now. So it is possible that he has a career resurgence with a great offensive line, a good quarterback, hopefully a good coordinator in Kellen Moore calling plays. I'm not ruling out Saquon Barkley having a really big year, but I think part of this is – I just think we've overrated Saquon Barkley as a player. He's good. He's very good. But he is not he's not great like we want him to be, like we thought he was going to be coming out of college.
Yeah, I wonder. I think you're right. And you made a pretty Christian McCaffrey, top, what did you say, 12, 13, 14 running back of all time?
I wrote about it during Super Bowl week last year, where you really started looking at the case. Look, he's not Jim Brown, but when you start getting into let's compare him to LaDainian Tomlinson, let's start comparing him to Marshall Faulk, he actually compares really, really well to those guys.
Because of the catches and all the catches, especially when he was in Carolina.
Oh, he's just an unbelievable. He does it all. I rewatched the Super Bowl last night just to remind myself, actually, Kansas City really struggled in that game. I forgot about that. But one of the points I took away from that game is, wow, Christian McCaffrey is just a joy to watch. He is such a good football player.
He really is.
And there's no sign of him slowing down. Like, and that's part of the whole, like, where does Christian McCaffrey rank all time? And I think he's really, really low on those lists right now because people haven't gotten their heads around McCaffrey being an all-time great. Part of the reason is, there's a reason he can't put up another 20-touchdown season this year with the 49ers. It's all there for him. Like, he's still the best running back in the league by a mile, and I think he's got a couple really, really good years left in him.
You know, when he came out in the draft, I was doing the show with Chris Cooley, who's a good friend, and we talk all the time, and he comes on during the season a lot. He said that in that draft, Christian McCaffrey would have been the best receiver in the draft.
Wow.
It's proven to be, he's special. And I think you're right. I don't think people have wrapped their arms around the fact that Christian McCaffrey is having a cinch Hall of Fame career with a couple of more years. And he's only 28 years old. The Barkley thing's interesting just because I think he is gifted. I think he is elite talent. And he's played on a team that's had nothing offensively.
Yeah.
A terrible offensive line. No ability to throw the football down the field because they've had no playmakers. And I just wonder if it'll be different in Philly. We'll see. Believer in Dallas taking a big step back this year?
No, not at all. I think that we overreact to 31 NFL teams, and then we crazy overreact to the Cowboys. Like, they're the only team that is covered and talked about like a college team, like an SEC team, right? Where every loss, it's fire the coach and trade Dak Prescott and all this kind of stuff. The reason we're so down on the Cowboys this year is because Jerry Jones, says crazy stuff all the time, even Dak this week said, yeah, I don't really pay attention to what Jerry says in the media anymore. Jerry Jones, at some point right after their playoff loss, said, we're going to be all in this offseason. And then it didn't happen, and everybody went, oh, my God, the Cowboys are terrible. Why? Like, we're never going to go all in. They have these three massive contracts they had to deal with Lamb, Dak, and Micah. They're basically the same team they were the past 3 years when they won 12 games each year. Unless you're a big Dorrance Armstrong fan and you think that losing Dorrance Armstrong is going to ruin the Dallas Cowboys, okay, then fine. I'm not in that boat. I think the Cowboys are a really, really good regular season team. Now, are they going to make a playoff run this year? Probably not. They've proven time and again that that's a bad thing to wager on. But I do think that they're still at reasonably the same level they've been at the past 3 years when they've gone 12-5, which is really, really hard to do in the NFL. It's a really good football team. I think they win the NFC East. I think they're going to win about 11-12 games again, and then they're probably going to disappoint everybody when it comes to wild card round weekend.
How far in the postseason do they need to go for McCarthy to be back, for Dak to be back? Do they have to get to the NFC title game?
I don't believe that at all, because the one thing we've gotten wrong about Jerry Jones is we think of him as the guy from 1994 who's firing Jimmy Johnson. And he, over the last 14 years, he's only fired one coach. I mean, he fired Jason Garrett, and actually Jason Garrett's contract expires. So he didn't technically even fire him. And everybody expects Jerry to just be cycling through coaches every year when he's actually the opposite. He's almost too loyal to these guys. And look, it's tough. I get it. The playoff disappointments have been really, really bad, but it's hard to fire a coach when he's winning 12 games every year. Like, I don't really truly think Mike McCarthy's the problem. He might not be the solution either. We'll see about that. Dak is just interesting. I'm interested to see where this goes. I ultimately think that the Cowboys re-signed Dak. A quarterback like Dak Prescott, and I'm talking about his talent level, his age, not being injured. Only one guy has ever hit free agency like in his prime like that, and that's Kirk Cousins, you know, back from when he went from Washington to Minnesota. It doesn't happen. Teams pay their quarterbacks. Even if they're mediocre, they pay their quarterbacks. And Dak, I don't think, is mediocre. I think he's way above that. So I assume something gets done, but I do wonder if Dak is just like, I've already gotten paid. I'm not hurting for money, but just hit the open market and see what happens. Because if that does happen, people have told me I'm wrong about this, but I've been on our podcast saying if Dak Prescott hits the open market, I think $65 million is not out of the question, even $70 million is not out of the question per year. Like, it will be a bidding war like we've never seen before in the NFL, and he will shatter contract records if that happens, because the Raiders are sitting there with a blank check. Mark Davis can't wait to pay that guy. So if there's a bidding war for Dak, it's going to get crazy.
If you don't have one and you can get one that's borderline top 10 to top 12, you have to go for it because
right.
it's so hard to get it anywhere else. In fact, the draft, right. we all know, is a one out of four business, you know, when it comes to quarterbacks even in the first round. We're talking to Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. You did put your power rankings, regular season power rankings up. I'm curious as to what you think of Baltimore and the pressure on them to get to a Super Bowl. I'm not even talking about winning it, but for Lamar and by extension, yeah. I think Frank, John Harbaugh, I think this is the team that really might be feeling it more than anybody else and has to deliver. What do you say?
Yeah, it's hard because I hate that part of the Lamar narrative is, oh, he can't win the big one, which is just silly. Like, that guy's going, Lamar Jackson's walking into the Hall of Fame. I hope people realize that by now, that if you go and look at the list of guys who have won two MVPs in NFL history, it is basically a list of legends in the game, and every single one of them is in the Hall of Fame or will be on the first ballot. I'm talking about, you know, guys like Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be first ballot Hall of Famer. Lamar Jackson's going to be first ballot Hall of Famer. John Harbaugh's probably going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, too. He's incredible. But now the critics have this fuel. Oh, they can't make a Super Bowl. So I dislike it from that aspect. I'm torn on the Ravens for, first of all, they were the best team in the NFL last season in the regular season. They were an incredible football team. They just lost in the AFC Championship game to the Chiefs. It happens. But even to regress a little bit, they're still going to be a really, really good football team. But the one thing that I keep coming back to is I think Mike McDonald was a huge part of what they did. Their defensive coordinator, he had two great seasons for them and then got the Seattle job. I think we underrate the loss of coordinators. We don't talk about it enough. We didn't talk about it enough with the Eagles last year. It happens. They lose Mike McDonald. I don't know what Zach Orr is as a defensive coordinator. He might be amazing, but we don't know that yet. I think that's a big loss for them. They've had questions on their offensive line. It's hard to replicate going, you know, 13-4, whatever they were last year. I think they do take a step back. I don't know how big of a step back, but I think it is another frustrating season for the Ravens where, yeah, they can't get this, you know, kind of this, shake this image of them as the team that can't win the big one, because it's hard to do. They had their shot last year and they missed, and that's really going to haunt them for a while.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't bring Wink Martindale back. I saw him on the sidelines Saturday night as Michigan's defensive coordinator, with him being out there. I know you got to run. Let me just ask you this as an exit. Give me your two Super Bowl participants and the Super Bowl winner.
Boy, I mean, if I'd have said this 5 years ago, you'd have locked me up, but just in a straitjacket somewhere. But I think the Lions beat the Jets in the Super Bowl. That's my Super Bowl pick. Two of the absolute most downtrodden franchises in NFL history. Lions obviously have never even been to a Super Bowl. The Jets have not won a Super Bowl since 1968, and they have the longest playoff drought in American professional sports going right now. But I look at these two teams, and the Jets, first of all, are just – they really are just average quarterback play away. And do I think a four-time MVP can give them average quarterback play even at age 40? I do. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be just fine for them. And I just, the talent level's off those charts with the Jets. They're a really, really good roster, really good football team. Finally, we get to see them with competent quarterback play. And then the Lions, maybe I'm falling for the story. It's possible. Maybe I'm not a Detroit guy. I'm not from there, but who isn't rooting for the Lions right now?
They were close last year.
So close, and it was so hard. And it would be, that fan base deserves it. And maybe I'm falling for the story, but I look at a team that brought everybody back, basically, including their offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson. That was massive for them. And they added at the cornerback room. They added to their defensive line. They addressed their weaknesses as well as anybody could have in free agency in the draft. I just like the way this roster is right now. They play in a tough division. That's going to be tough for them. But I just believe in this Lions team. And I think they're the Lions' year. I think they win a Super Bowl, as crazy as that sounds to say right now.
Frank, thanks, as always. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Yep. Frank Schwab, everybody, from Yahoo Sports, at Yahoo Schwab on X on Twitter. How about just the idea, and I think he's not wrong about this. You start thinking about the greatest running backs in the history of the game. I mean, we're not that far off from saying that Christian McCaffrey's in that conversation of borderline top 10. And Marshall Faulk really is the comp. Like, if you think Marshall Faulk is a top 10 running back, and I think most people who rank running backs would probably have Faulk in the top 10. That's the comp. That's who he is. That's what he's going to, his numbers are going to look like when he's done. He's only 28. And the team he's with, I mean, he's going to thrive if he's healthy. Did you see a story that's slightly attached to McCaffrey and the 49ers is just the Brandon Ayuk stuff. Did you see Ayuk basically apologized for, making this much more difficult on everybody than it needed to be? Did you see that yesterday, Dan?
Yeah, I did. I was like, thanks for the apology, guy. I guess that works now.
Well, I mean, he said something about, there was a line, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And he's like, sometimes you got to know when to squeak and when not to. And he said, for the last month, we didn't squeak at all because things were going well. But he did say that he was, borderline apologetic for making everybody go through that. I think that you watch the way Jamar Chase has handled it, even CeeDee Lamb. You know, some of the players who have recently gotten paid, and a guy like Cam Hayward just got a big extension in Pittsburgh. Did you even know that Cameron Hayward was like looking for a new deal? And there are just ways to do it. And look, the 49ers have proven over time that they will ultimately pay. It just takes them a while to get there. And sometimes it's right before the season. Is Jamar Chase going to get paid before Sunday?
If you asked me this like 4 days ago, I would have said yes for sure. But the closer we get to Sunday, the more worried is maybe the wrong word, but the less optimistic.
Don't they play KC in week two? They have an easy opener, at least on paper. The Bengals play the Patriots, right? They play the Patriots?
Yeah, they play the Patriots. They're like 9.5-point favorites in that. Then they're on the road.
They play KC next week.
On the road, too, in Arrowhead. Yeah.
Yeah. They need Jamar Chase in the lineup. That will be next week. The leverage, I don't know where it is right now because I haven't followed this story, but it has to shift to Jamar Chase next week because they need him when they go to Arrowhead.
Well, they need him for week three too. They don't want their backups to see Emmanuel Forbes.
All right. Joining us next, we have a guest, Dre Cooper, who Denton told me about this series on NIL and specifically how LSU has handled it in recent years. And Dre Cooper was able to sit down with not only Jaden Daniels, but Jaden Daniels' mother for this series that'll be coming out. He will join us next. Kevin Sciancho, the Team 980. The Team 980 are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.